Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Canton Church, a campus of Mount Perrin North. We exist to help people live a Christ-centered life, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
What's up, Canton Church? How are we doing today? I think we all got a little bit distracted because Trevor couldn't figure out how to shoot the gun off there. But can we just celebrate the fact that it's been 5 years?
Absolutely.
Can we just give... Listen, some of you that are here in this room were here 5 years ago. And there are others that are watching online today that couldn't be here. Their neighborhoods are still iced over, and they got all kinds of stuff happening, so they couldn't get here. Some of you were here 5 years ago. Some of you haven't been here 5 months or even 5 weeks. But here's what we love about it, that we get to celebrate today what God has done in this entire period of time. And so today we wanted to just take some time to talk a little bit about that, and not just to spend time talking about the church, but also to kind of address us individually and what God maybe has done in the last 5 years and what God may be looking to do in the next 5 years in your life and in mine. But as I think back over 5 years, Pastor Mark, it seems crazy that it's been 5 years. We were talking about this backstage. I feel like it's been 10 years or even 15 in some respects, but I feel like it hasn't been a year in other respects. Like it seems like I can remember with such clarity some of those things that happened in the early days. So I wanted to show you a couple of pictures and kind of trace with you, just for a couple of minutes here, trace with you some of this journey. So here is the first picture. This is our very first service. The very first service that we did, it's right before we started. I think more people than that showed up for the service, but that's the very first service that we did. We were Mount Perrin North Canton campus. Now, we are still a campus of Mount Perrin North, but we changed our name because that's like the worst and longest name in the history of any organization, tough to brand and advertise with. But Mount Perrin North Canton campus, it was difficult for us, but that's what we were. That's who we are still, but now we're known as Canton Church. And so we spent 4 years, 209 Sundays at Sequoia High School. We were portable. We would set it up and tear it down. I think there's a picture of us loading in and loading out some equipment every single Sunday. If you were not a part of that portable season, you need to thank God right now, because we would show up early on Sunday morning and we would get all the stuff out of 3 different U-Haul trucks, load it all into the school, set it all up for kids' environments and the auditorium and the lobbies, and we set up more pipe and drape. Than I tried to come up with how many feet of pipe and drape we set up in 4 years, and I couldn't come up with it. But man, we did that every single Sunday, and for those that may not be aware, there are 209 rocks on this stage, on the front of this stage, to represent each of those Sundays. It's kind of our altar of remembrance of what God did in that season. And even though there were some difficult days in the 209 Sundays, let me just say, I wouldn't trade it for the world. There were some things we learned about God, and we learned about how to do church, and there were some things that we learned about each other that I would not trade for anything. And so we spent 209 Sundays, and we spent some time in that period of time trying to figure out what do we do next? Where do we go from here? We knew we wouldn't be portable forever. And so we probably looked at like 60, 70, 80 properties perhaps over the course of a couple years trying to figure out where we were going to go. And I went back and looked and found that we found this property in November of 2014. I had been eating at a restaurant right across the road, not too far down the road here, and was driving back this way and saw the lease sign. And so I want to show you a quick video. It's like less than a minute, and I want you to turn your attention to the screen. This was the day that I walked onto the property for the second time. We walked up here the first time, walked in through the building, and then this was the second time that I came up here. We had made a non-binding offer. I want you to watch this.
At Mount Perrin North Canton in 2014, we started the year off with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and one of our prayer points was a permanent location, or a more permanent location, for our campus community.
I know.
And we're in December now of 2014, and over the last few days, we have come in contact with this property here at 110 Bluffs Parkway in Canton. And we've now made a non-binding offer on the property just so that we can engage in negotiations to see about the possibility of making this our semi-permanent home. It would be a lease, so it would not be something that we purchase, but we're looking to see if there's an agreement between us and the landlords that would be similar in finances to what we would have at the school, but would also provide us 24/7 access, 365 days a year, to expand our ministry opportunities in the community, here in Canton, and then even around the world from this ministry hub. So we're in prayer about that, but this is a cool day because in the next few days or next few hours even, we could find out that this is the place that Mount Perrin North Canton has been praying about for an entire year.
Okay, so that was in December of 2014. If you could tell by the windows, this was still a karate studio. They're now downstairs. But this was, they did karate, taekwondo up here. and all the rest of the spaces in the building were empty. And as I was looking at that video this week, and I was looking back and just thinking about, like, we just had no idea. There was just no way to know what God might do. And it still took us over a year from that point to actually get into this space. It was probably the most frustrating year of my life. And some of you lived through that. But as I was thinking about that, then we finally came and we moved into this facility. And here's what the first Sunday in this facility looked like. It was incredible. And it felt like, man, that seems like more than a year ago. But it was not even fully a year yet. It was January the 17th, 2016. And as I was thinking about that, there's incredible things that have happened. There's funny things that have happened. In that portable season, we had to set up and tear down. We had all these trucks. And one of the first few Sundays we were in the facility, on the way to Sequoia High School, one of our truck drivers knocked over a mailbox, somebody's house, driving down Hickory Road, and just kept driving. Just kept driving to the school. Not because he was a terrible person. Well, he's not. I'm just kidding. No, he wanted to get the equipment to the school. I don't think he's here today. No, so we came, he dropped off the equipment, and then he went back and told the owner, hey, I knocked it down, and you can build a church. The other thing that we did, we had to buy trucks because we didn't buy, like, high-dollar trucks. And so we had to buy trucks pretty regularly. And one time we bought a truck to put our equipment in. We actually put our equipment in it, and we were using it for a few weeks. And then the guy that sold us the truck contacted us and said, hey, we need the truck back. We were like, no, we paid for it. And he was like, well, the truck was stolen. Now, in the 5 years, I just refused to admit that it was stolen. So I just say it had a paperwork discrepancy, but we did return the truck and we got our money back.
Some of our folks are getting out of prison.
A couple of them.
We're thankful for that.
Well, jail, if you will. Prison. It's kind of prison, but no, we just... There's so many things that I was trying to think this week, and we've been telling stories for several weeks in anticipation of today. So many funny things, just incredible things. Some of the stats that we could give you, let's just think about this. In 5 short years, we have seen 268 people receive Christ as their Savior. 268, yeah. And as Corey mentioned in the announcement segment a few minutes ago, I mean, we've seen marriages restored that were on the brink of losing it. We've seen sons and daughters come to find life in Christ when their parents just weren't sure that was even possible. We've seen people literally go around the world and do missions and chase God to the ends of the earth from little old Canton, Georgia. And so we're so thankful for that. And so on a day like that, those are the kind of things you celebrate. It's a birthday.
Sure, and birthdays are celebrations.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the confetti. The hats, the horns, that's what you do at birthdays.
Yeah.
You celebrate, and when you celebrate birthdays, you're celebrating another year of living, another year of accomplishment, another year of experience. But that's not all you celebrate at a birthday. You also celebrate there is more life to be lived. There are more accomplishments to accomplish. There are more things ahead of us. You know, when you think about your children or your grandchildren, you celebrate when they turn a year older. They've had another year. They've got experience, but you're also celebrating. They got so much life ahead of them.
Right.
They got so many things more to be done and to do. And that's what we're doing here at Canton Campus. We're celebrating, yes, look what God has done, but we're also celebrating, look at what God wants to do.
Yeah.
We're looking forward as well. And, you know, and some birthdays are more significant than others. I think the first birthday is very significant. The 5-year-old birthday is significant. Then I think 13, 16, 18. And then when you get to the 20s and the 30s and all of that. My 40th birthday was 17 years ago. I turned 40. My wife gave me a ski trip to Breckenridge, Colorado. Just a guy's trip. So, yeah, isn't that wow?
File that
yeah,
away.
Isn't that cool?
File that away.
Sorry,
yeah.
Ladies, if I put you in a real bind on that one.
Yeah, file that one away.
But it was just a guy's trip, so I got a couple of my closest friends and took my son, Justin, who at that time was 13 years old. Now, the day before we leave, my wife lectures me, if once, 100 times, don't forget you got Justin with you.
Yeah.
Don't forget you got to feed him. Don't forget to look after him. As if I was going to land in Denver, hand him 10 bucks, and said, I'll meet you back here in 5 days, you know? So I said, I got it. So we fly into Denver, and it's about an hour, I think, drive from there to Breckenridge. We rent the van. We stuff everything in there, and we're hungry. We find an all-night Denny's that's open. We pull in, park, get out of the van, and we're not 20 yards into the parking lot, headed to the restaurant. I hear this banging behind me. We turn around, and we had locked my son in the van. We had been on the ground 30 minutes. I totally forgot about the kid. Absolutely. And so I've told my wife that story.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about how I lost him on the slopes during that. So we won't talk about that part.
Probably shouldn't.
Of the trip. Point is, I almost didn't see age 41 out of all of that. But birthdays are about, celebrating what's been accomplished, but also where you're going.
Yeah.
And if all you celebrate is what's happened in the past, it's a real limited celebration. We got to celebrate we're still here, and man, there's more to go. And if somebody that really got a hold of this idea that you just can't live back here, but you got to really live looking forward, it was the Apostle Paul. Yeah. Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. One of the letters he wrote is in Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 3, and that's where we're going to talk from this morning, Paul begins to talk about the stuff he does well. He began to kind of give his stats of what his accomplishments have been and how good he is, if you will, and the kind of confidence he could put in his own ability about things. In fact, in Philippians 3, beginning in verses 4 and 5, this is what he writes. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. This guy's very confident. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees were sticklers for God's law. As for zeal, persecuting the church. He tried to keep the church from progressing. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Here he is given his stats, all the stuff that he does well. You might say he was the MVP of the Hebrew community. I mean, where everybody believes that Matt Ryan ought to be the MVP of the NFL. Do I have a witness about that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Because of his great stats. He's the MVP. And these great stats that Paul gives. Man, I'm the MVP of the Hebrew community, but here's what Paul discovered. He discovered this was all self-righteousness. And that wasn't going to cut it with God.
Yeah.
What he needed wasn't his own righteousness that he could produce. What he needed was the righteousness that only comes from God through Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, all this stuff that I do well is lost at knowing one single thing, Jesus Christ. And what happened is that became Paul's single focus for the rest of his life. I want to know Christ fully. So much so, he had a game plan. And in verses 12 through 14, Paul writes this in Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, the goal of knowing Christ fully, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, single focus, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, from these words in verses 13 and 14, Pastor Jeremy and I want to talk about what happens when we have a single focus.
Yeah, when we have a single focus, I think the first thing that happens is it helps us to keep going. When you think about the things in your life, sometimes good, sometimes bad, there's things that pull at us, and sometimes we want to stop. Now, it may be that we want to stop and kind of hang where we're at because we're really excited about all the things that we've already accomplished, all the things that we've already done. If you've ever met anybody that brags all the time about what they were like in high school or college, you know what I'm talking about. Like the guy that just cannot let go how great he was in high school sports, or the girl who just can't stop talking about being the prom queen. Like we're hanging on to something back there. But a single focus, understanding that there's something in front of us, helps us to keep going. That we have a single focus that keeps pushing us towards our tomorrows and keeps us from just living in our yesteryears, right? And so this idea of the single focus helping us to keep going, we read about in verse 13 and 14. You heard Pastor say it just a few minutes ago. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I realize I've not yet arrived at anything, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on, straining toward what is ahead. This idea that if something good happened in our past, something that we're proud of, then we celebrate it. We don't actually forget it. You can't forget those things. You don't want to forget those things. But we celebrate them and we keep moving. We celebrate the idea that they help to make us who we are, and we continue striving towards, straining towards, pressing on towards what we believe is out in front of us. But let's just say there's some things back there you wish you could forget. You got some things in your past that you want to let go of, you want to forget there are bad things, bad situations, bad circumstances, maybe bad decisions on your own part, or something happened to you through no fault of your own, but what do? Then we do the very best we can to forget them. We can't forget them, we understand that, but we mourn them, we grieve them, and we let them go. And we just don't allow them to define us and to define our future. And we continue to strain or press towards our future. When I was thinking about all these, you know, these last 5 years, I was thinking about the good and the bad. There are some things that I want to forget back there. There are some things, they weren't the best days for us. We had some tough decisions to make. We had some hard conversations. People hurt us. We inadvertently maybe hurt people. And so we want to let some of those things go. But we continue striving because we know that there is more to be accomplished in our future. I also think about some things that we celebrated and that we want to celebrate. Some of the statistics and some of the stories that we talked about, you know, that we talked about, we learned in those 209 portable Sundays or even in the last year here in this facility. I think about just a few years ago when a businessman woke up on a Friday morning and he had already put a contract on 40 acres of land valued at over $1 million. And he woke up on that Friday morning and thought, you know what, I believe the Lord's leading me to give this to Canton Church. At that time, it was Mount Perrin North Canton Campus. I believe the Lord wants me to give it to the church so that they can do something with it that's greater in a kingdom sense than what I would do in a business sense. And he followed through with that and gave us property so that we can position ourselves for what God may want to do in our future. And to this point, we haven't really done anything specifically with it. We don't have the final plan of how we want to utilize that property, but we believe it's a part of our future. We believe it's a part of our straining on and our pressing on towards what God may have for our future. So when we have a single focus, it helps us to keep going. Some of the language that we looked at right there just a minute ago, this idea of straining is like full exertion. Like if you've ever seen a track and field meet where they're running towards the finish line, they don't coast, you know, unless it's Usain Bolt, they don't coast that last little bit. What do? They give like everything they've got to get across the finish line before the next guy, before the next girl, because they want to make sure that they don't leave anything left undone in this race. They strain towards the finish line. And I think this is the idea of what Paul's talking about, that I'm straining towards, fully exerting myself to get to the finish line, to get to the goal of the race. The other thing that he talks about there is this pressing. It's that full energy of running. Again, another running imagery where he's like, everything I've got, I'm pressing, I'm straining towards my goal. But it's not like wandering aimlessly. I'm not just kind of running around haphazardly. No. I am focused on the goal at the end of this race. And Paul understood that. And you and I, if we're followers of Christ or we understand the point of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we understand that there is a single focus of following the life and ministry of Jesus Christ with our own lives, modeling our lives in the way that he modeled his for us. And so we continue going, we strain, we press on towards what God has for us. That's that single focus. So in spite of what's happened, the good or the bad, a single focus helps us to keep going.
And a single focus helps us to keep growing. Paul said, I haven't arrived, I have not obtained this, I haven't reached the fullness of understanding and knowing who Jesus Christ is. There's room for improvement. I can still grow. And it's interesting to me that here's a guy who wrote most of the New Testament I mentioned a moment ago. He also had experienced so much of the supernatural. He prayed for people and they were healed. People were raised from the dead after he prayed for them. People had demons cast out of them. Here's a guy who had an actual vision of heaven. He was transported to heaven and saw it. He said it was too glorious to write about. Now, if I'm that guy, I ain't got nothing else to learn. What have I got to grow? I've seen it all, not him. I haven't gotten there. There's more for me. There's more for me to know and to learn and to grow. And when you have a single focus, which the single focus for Mount Perrin North Meriden Canton Campus is helping people live a Christ-centered life, especially those disconnected from Christ. That's why we believe we exist. And when you have that kind of a single focus, this is why we're here. And that's something that keeps you growing, because that's something you can never attain on your own. It's something only God can do. And we constantly need something stretching us, something challenging us. And when you have a single focus in your personal life, in the place where you work, in the church, wherever, it keeps us from that been there, done that mentality. Yeah. Let me just say this. Any person, any group, any organization that ever comes to a place where they start having this attitude of been there, done that, you're in the process of dying.
That's right.
Lou Holtz, you're not going to find him in the Bible.
Great theologian.
Great theologian. I think he is in the Hall of Fame of college coaches, perhaps. Yeah. He said this. At least I think he's the one that said this. He says, if you aren't growing, you're dying. If you ever come to that place, and Paul says, I haven't gotten there. And when a group of people share a single focus, it's going to be something that stretches and challenges and helps them to improve and grow. One of the ways I believe it helps a church, they have a single focus of where they're headed, is that it helps us to grow together in unity and community. The more we share this real goal of helping people live a Christ in their life, especially those disconnected from Christ. And in that context, what God might specifically say to Canton Church, the neighborhoods we want to get into, the places within Cherokee County that we want to find places of ministry, wherever the doors that He might open unto us within the context of helping people live a Christ in their life, especially those disconnected from Christ. Man, when we share that together, we can't help but grow. Because it brings us together in community. How many salvations have we had in the past 5 years? 268. If you have been a part of this church 5 years, 5 months, 5 weeks, you share in that.
That's right.
You're a part of those folks coming into abundant eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's nothing better to live for. Yeah. We share that as community and unity. Another way that we have this single focus of this vision that helps us to grow together is that it helps us to grow together in depending on God. See, Paul said, I can't attain where the Lord wants to take me. My flesh ain't going to get it done.
Yeah.
Because where He wants to take me is only something God can achieve. I've got to trust Him. I got to believe in Him. And we grow together in dependence and trust in God. 5 years ago, well, before we opened 5 years ago, we were looking at starting another campus. And we settled on the Canton area. Just believe God opened that door to us 5 years ago. That's 2011, I guess it is, somewhere in that neighborhood, if I got my math right.
Yeah.
And it was still a very difficult economic time, if you recall. And we had several folks saying to me, don't start this campus. You know, the finances aren't that good, and it's going to be tough to support, and don't know that we can do this. And I valued that feedback. I received that or accepted that. But we felt such an urgency that God was saying, no, you need to do this. Trust me. Yeah. And now look at this, 268 salvations.
That's right.
That's God. That's a trust in Him. That was a stretching. That was a growing. And then you talked about finding this place November 2014.
Yeah.
All the different places we looked at, and most of those He looked at. I went along with Him a little bit, but I said, man, I'm tired of this. You go do it. And He looked at most of those. I mean, any piece of property, any empty building, any storefront, we looked at them because we didn't want to stay portable.
That's right.
We always had the desire to become permanent. And then we found this place, or at least God brought us to this place. Well, what is it, 10 miles or so from Sequoia High School where we were meeting? We're thinking, the stats say people will only go to church regularly within a 7-mile radius of the church. We're going outside where we said, we believe God's opened this door. What's the attendance been this first year compared to last year?
100 more people a week.
100 more people a week here at this. That's worth praising God for, folks. That's because folks like you who are with us at Sequoia were willing to trust God together.
Yeah.
And to be stretched and to be challenged. And here's what's cool. You remember the 40 acres He talked about? You know where those 40 acres are? Just a couple of miles down the road.
Yeah.
We didn't find this place out of all the places we looked at. We didn't find this place until God had blessed us with those 40 acres.
That's right.
God said, I'm going to take you out to the place where you're going to do ministry, the community I have for you. There's more stretching to be done.
That's right.
Nothing that's going to happen in this year is going to be pain-free or problem-free.
That's right.
This is not for the faint of heart. It's not. And I want to challenge us all as individuals for a moment. I don't know how many of you here do New Year's resolutions. How many of you make New Year's resolutions that say, I'm not going to make any New Year's resolutions. I don't know where you are in all of that. But let me just ask this question of you. What is going to keep you growing in 2017? What's going to keep you challenged? What's going to keep you stretched in 2017? What are you going to read? What are you going to listen to? What are you going to watch? Who are you going to talk to? What experiences are you going to involve yourself in that are going to keep you challenged and stretched? Let me share one with you. Really get involved in Canton Church. You want something beyond yourself that only God can accomplish? Find a place to serve. Really be bought in and see if God doesn't challenge and stretch you when you have a single focus. It keeps you growing, but it also what?
Keeps you grounded. You know, we talked about this idea that when we're running, we're not just running aimlessly. You know, we're grounded in the idea that we have a specific place that we're going, and we keep our attention and our focus on that as we keep running, as we keep going, as we keep growing. So we stay grounded in that. And I think for all of us, again, there's a lot of things pulling at us in life. There's a lot of things that want our attention. But Paul was very specific. He says, you know, I haven't already attained it, so I'm going to strain towards it. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There was one goal. There was one prize. He knew it. He was focused on it. All of his attention, all of his effort was on that one goal, that one prize. And so no matter what was going on around him, because here's the thing. He said that one goal and that one prize was about this heavenward call. But not everything around him was heavenly. Right? I mean, there was persecution that was facing him and others around him in the communities where he was living and what was happening in the culture of that day. There was all kinds of negative things that were happening, negative things being pulled at him and all the people around him. But he said, no, I am focused on what God is trying to accomplish in and through me. He had a very specific trajectory. He had this high calling, this high standard of living, this high virtue, this high value, this high responsibility, even in the midst of low cultural standards. Even in the midst of low morals. And man, that sounds a lot like what we're facing today. That there's all kinds of things that are just down in the weeds. But for us, if we have a single focus on the things that God would call us to, then it helps us to cut out the distractions. It helps us to make sure that we are grounded in the message and the call of God on our individual lives. And that's really, really important for us. Because my dad has said for a long time, and it's been very influential in, for me, and maybe it will for you. He said, you know, the plans of God for us are always forward. The plans of God for us are always out in front of us. It doesn't mean that, again, we forget what's happened. There are some things that we want to remember, we want to hold to. But the plans that God has for us, the plans that he's writing for us, are about our tomorrows. And I realize that we don't know our tomorrows, and so that makes it uncertain, and it makes it something that we may be afraid of, or we may have a lot more caution towards walking into something that we're uncertain about. But the plans of God are always pulling us into our future. And when I was thinking about that, I thought about, you know, a car windshield here. I think this came off of an old Jeep. Some of you were salivating over that earlier. I think this came off an old Jeep, but this is, you know, they just ripped it off for us so we could use it. I think the guy that owns it knew that they were taking it out off.
Came off but a stolen truck.
It may have come off a stolen truck. I'm not sure. But close the circle. So, no, I think about when you're driving in your car or you're riding in your car, you know, there's several things that could pull at your attention. We're not even talking about your cell phone right now. Just the parts of the car. Right, there's the dash, and there's the GPS, and there's the radio, and there's all kinds of things that could be pulling at your attention. But primarily, there are two things happening in front of you. You've got the windshield, and you've got the rearview mirror. Now, you've probably seen this, heard this before, but you have two opportunities to focus on something. You can focus on the rearview mirror, or you can focus on the windshield. Now, I want you to think, related to size, which one is calling for your attention? Like, which one wants your attention? Mm-hmm. The windshield. Yeah. Now, not propped up here on this stool, but what is out your windshield in your car? It's what's happening in front of you. It's the road in front of you. It is the road that's taking you forward on your journey. And yet, in life, what do we spend most of our time focusing on? What's behind us. We focus on what's already happened. We focus on those things that we're proud of from our past, or we focus on those things that we're not proud of from our past, and we wear those things as labels. I'm the guy that accomplished this. I'm the girl that had this reputation. I'm the guy that failed in this way. I'm the girl that had these things happen to me. And we just cannot get away from looking back at our past, good or bad. But Paul said, no. Forgetting what is behind me. Taking my eyes off the things that have already happened to me and making sure that my eyes are focused through this huge front windshield. towards the tomorrow that is in my life, the plans of God that are calling me forward. I take my eyes off what's already happened. And maybe when the car stops, maybe when I pull over to the side of the road, I can reflect and I can think about all that I've accomplished in the journey. But no, right now, I am focused on what is right out in front of me. I think for all of us today, if you take the attention off of our church for a minute, and you put the attention on yourself personally for a minute, where are you focused? Where do you spend most of your time gazing? Are you looking back? Are you looking forward? When you look back, you have some certainty there. You know the details, you know the characters in the story, you know the players, you know how some of those events unfold. When you look forward, there's a lot more uncertainty. It requires a lot more faith to keep moving forward. And so if you take the story away from the church for a minute and you put the story right back on you, where do you spend your time focusing? If you have a single focus, if you can only look to one thing, are you looking forward? Are you looking back? Because I believe if you look forward, if you have a single focus and you are moving forward, it helps you to go, it helps you to grow, and it keeps you grounded.
Amen.
I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. I want to cut out all the distractions. I want to forget what's behind me, and I want to press on. I want to strain on towards everything that God may be calling me to in the future. Now, here's what I think about. I think about our church. As I think about our church, I think about you. There's some incredible things to celebrate over the last 5 years. Like, we don't even have time. It could be like a 6-week series to tell you some of the stories, good and bad. But as much as I love reflecting on it, and I did a lot this week thinking about today, you know what excites me the most? The next 5 years. Mm. And the 5 years after that. And the 5 years after that. I love what God has already done, but I believe with all of my heart, and this is probably like the most pastor thing to say, I believe with all of my heart our best days are in front of us. I really do. I believe that there are people that will come into this place who don't even live here yet. They don't even live in our community. I believe that there are people that will come into this place in the next few weeks who have lived beside you for years, who sit beside you at work, who go to school with you every single day. And they're going to come into this place and they're going to find life in Christ. Or it could be that they come into another place at some point down the road that God is calling us to meet and to gather. And that's the place where they find life in Christ. That's the place where they engage what we call the Christ-centered life of really loving God and making friends and serving others and sharing our Jesus story. Because there are people in this community who are disconnected from Christ, and we believe that God's called us to this place to engage them. But we can't engage those new people by looking back. God is calling us toward our future. He's calling us to do new things and dream new dreams. And I promise you, I say it all the time, Canton Church is our fifth child. We have Cooper, Branson, Tucker, Kinley, and Canton Church. Like, it's what happens. I don't know. We sit at dinner, we're like, we're not talking about the kids tonight. And then I just start talking about the church. I love it. I believe God's placed some big dreams in our heart for 2017 and for 2018 and for 2019. And so we are choosing to point our attention towards our tomorrows. Even though we don't have great certainty about all that God wants to accomplish, we believe that God is calling us there. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, I talk about it a lot, I reference it from this stage a lot. The story of the children of Israel out of the book of Joshua, really, once you get to that place. Joshua is now, he's now leading the people of Israel. Moses is no longer leading them. And so God says to Joshua, here's how we're going to go into the promised land. We're going to put the Ark of the Covenant out in front because you've never been this way before. The Ark of the Covenant was the tangible presence of God. He says, we're going to put the Ark of the Covenant out in front, and then I want you to put the leaders behind that, the priests and the leaders. I want you to get them behind the Ark, and then I want the people to follow. And with all of my heart, here's what I believe. If we will put the presence of God in front of us, and we, the leaders of Canton Church, will get in behind the presence of God and follow after everything that he's calling us to. And all of us will band together and say, if God is calling us this way, we will go this way. I believe that there is no limit to what God can do in and through this church and in your life and in my life specifically if we have a single focus that keeps us going, keeps us growing, and keeps us grounded. Would you stand with me today? I want us to pray. And I want us to pray two simple prayers. One, thank God for all he's done in the last 5 years in this church. And even if you haven't been a part of this church for 5 years, just thank God for what he's done in your life over the last 5 years. And then I want us quickly to transition our prayer to say, God, would you help us to focus on our future? Would you help us to focus on what you're calling us to? Would you help us just with some sense of clarity, but a greater sense of faith, look into our tomorrow and trust you in whatever you're leading us towards? Can we pray together today? God, we thank you for the last 5 years.
We do, Father.
We thank you, God, for all that's been accomplished. I thank you for the 268 people that have trusted you for salvation. And God, I thank you for the families who have been ministered to. I thank you for all the children that have walked through the doors of our kids' ministry and all the students that have walked into our student experience, God. And I thank you for the community outreach efforts and the world missions efforts. I thank you for all the life group meetings. God, I thank you for every service that's been had. I thank you for every song of worship and every sermon that's been preached. And God, we thank you for all that has been done. But now, God, we stand on this day and we ask you to help us to walk with confidence into our tomorrows. We celebrate this birthday and we celebrate all that's been done, but God, we're believing for even greater days ahead.
Yes.
God, we ask you to give us some clarity, but even beyond that, to give us a greater sense of dependence on you.
Yes, Father.
That we would trust you greater than we ever have before.
Yes, God.
That we would believe in you more than we ever knew we had the capacity to believe. That God, what you want to accomplish in 2017 and in 2018 and in 2019 and beyond is far greater than anything we could imagine. And so God, now we put our hope and our trust in you. We don't put our hope in man.
Right.
We don't put our hope in facilities.
That's
we don't put our hope in this community or in the financial institutions. We put our hope in you. And
thank
we
you,
know that you can accomplish all that you desire to accomplish in and through this place as we put you out front and as we stay singly focused on all that you're calling us to. God, we thank you for the opportunity to do all that you want to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As
Amen.
We worship together, can we put our hands together today?
Thanks again for listening today. If you would like more information about today's message or about our church, we invite you to visit us at cantonchurch.com or facebook.com/cantonchurchga.